Welcome, I'm Pastor Sean, by the way. It's nice to see you guys. I don't know if you know that today is chapter 13. We were in chapter 12 last week. I recognize that this chapter, if you didn't know that it was chapter 13, and you just kind of showed up, and you're like, oh, wow, they're in chapter 13. I'm going to give you the opportunity to run right now. Like, fake the call. Oh, what? My boss needs me. I'm serious. Like, pinch a baby. Oh, the guy did the baby out while he's crying. Might as well go to McDonald's and stay there. Fake a cough attack. I've done that. I gotta go. You know. We're in chapter 13 on the hard road, and it's the hard chapter of the hard road. And we just landed there. And it's short, but it packs like this crazy potential gut punch. And honestly, it's not even a tongue-in-cheek. Honestly, I'm going to be quoting the Word of God on some really hard topics, and I kind of just wanted to dip on it and just smash it together, put it real lightly in a smoothie, just kind of say it, and then dance out. That's what I did with chapter one. I did this. Chapter two, it had a little sauce in it, and I went, here's a little sauce. Jesus said it. I didn't. Don't get mad at me. And that's what I did. And he said, no, today. So take a moment in realness with God right now. I hope you did in communion. And if you decide to stay, if you decide to go, I love you so much. And you, if you don't know me, you don't know me. But if you know me, you know that's the truth. You're like, I had to dip, Pastor. I wasn't ready for chapter 13. I don't look any less. I love you. Always have. But if you decide to stay, it will make you accountable sometimes to make changes. It is time to be ready for whatever God says, I feel, to the body of Christ. And that's not easy, you know. Time to be ready for whatever, you know. And when you hear a message, try not to hear it for, man, I hope my spouse is listening. If you got a sharp elbow for your spouse, move across the room. Not where you can look at them like this. You're listening to the pastor? He talking to you, man. Not that. Don't like, go get your kid. They need to hear this. And then you're thinking, man, I should have brought my friend Stinky. He really needs to hear this. But hear it for us. I need a proven prayer warrior right now to open us up and lead us in. Do I got a proven prayer warrior? Kirsten, you're going to have to do.
Jesus, thank you so much for today. God, we just honor you. We bless you for who you are and what you want to say to us today. I pray that you take every blockade, every lie from this week that would take the seed that you want to plant today, God. I pray that we would just be good soil, that right now you'd settle every heart and every mind, that we would all be able to inhale and exhale, God, and just hear what you have to say, God. We love you. We honor you. We pray for our pastor, that every word he says would be only from your heart, and that we would eat that chicken. We'd spit out those bones. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen to that. I had to wear this today because part of 13's talk about being under authority, and I'm not good. Got there yet, but this jersey always reminds me of the sacrifice. You know, it says some, all give some give all. And Pat Tillman was one of those guys. I'm not even a football guy, really. I'm not a Cardinal guy. No, I'm the NBA is better than the rest of the sports in the entire world. Sorry, World Cup. I love you, Dan, NBA. He's like, Pastor, I will fight you later, you know. But I'm that guy. But this jersey reminds me that sometimes it's a sacrifice. Hard things are required. And also reminds me of being under authority. Like jump out into the enemy. Jump out here. Yeah, they got guns too. Go now. And you're like, can we talk about this, bro? Because this is not a safety plan I want. He didn't do that. He just jumped. And sometimes in my life, I've had leaders. We'll get into it, that I just had to jump, but I didn't understand it. I want us to be comforted with this slide as we head in. It's one of the points we've been picking out through the whole series of Romans the Hard Road. I got my first slide. It's going to bring us comfort today. Good fathers have unpopular rules. Good fathers have unpopular rules. There's bedtimes, right? There's no sugar. How many parents have a no sugar after a certain time of night for your kids? Well, you don't. You should, because that's part of your problem. They're not going to bed till 11 o'clock. I mean, you got to stop popping them up on pixie sticks at 9:30. Pixie sticks aren't a thing anymore. Yeah, it looked like cocaine. You should be giving it to kids. You know, it's crazy. They're all wired. They're all jacked up on pissy sticks. You know, you don't know. It's like crushed up sugar. You crushed up sugar in a tube. You know, anyways. You guys. But a couple of chapters ago, I breezed over authority. And say, all people are fallible. No one is 100% Jesus. Christians, right? I'm not talking about people who are trying to fake it. I'm talking about real, trying hard Christians. We all fall short. All fall short. This is true. I got another slide. It's proof, I think. Real Christians, even when trying oh so hard, will still fall short. That's a fact. Say, I get it. But what's worse is this. We could be that. We all fall dead if we're not heeding the warnings. Man, I can think of all the, like, it's easy for me to flash back. I can't remember where I left any of my glasses 14 seconds ago. But I can tell you all the times I almost died. From stupidity, just the stupidity ones, not like mosquitoes in the South Pacific. I'm talking about, good thing that thing didn't happen. Yeah, it was full of gas and you had a lighter. What do you think was going to happen? I don't know. Thank God the candle blew out. I thought it'd be cool. Yeah, you'd have blown up that half of the house. Kerosene works like that too. Thank God. You know, I'm putting out a rolling log of fire because I thought I'd just bring it inside in the glass room and light it in there and then take it out where it needed to go because it's cold outside in New York. Good thing that stupid thing didn't happen, Mark. I'd blown us all up, you know. Sometimes you got to heed some warnings. The church, people, Christians will never be perfect. Next slide. But we're not supposed to be perfect. We can't be perfect. Impossible to be 100% Jesus. But Christians should be transforming. We shouldn't be what we used to be. Yesterday, even, right? Yesterday, even. Should be something. So every Christian leader, even the ones that try oh so hard will never be perfect either. You realize that? Even Francis Chan, who I feel like there's Jesus, and then around these parts, Francis Chan. Even he's going to be imperfect. That's shocking to me. So if you had any perfect thoughts that I may have, I'll ruin them right now. I have no perfection in me. I have 0 millions and 0 perfection. So it's not made of those things. Every Christian leader, no matter how hard they try. Say, I'm the church. I get it. Say, I'm the church, and I'm working on it. Another fact found throughout all of God's word, God still deems it muy importante, to respond well to the leaders that God has placed over us. Sometimes that's hard. Anyone? Sometimes it's really hard. For me too, even as a leader, it can be hard because I take my responsibility seriously that I've been given. I take it really seriously. But you know how many times, like even this past, when did Apostle John come? How long ago is he here? Month? I'm terrible time. Month, right? He's my older brother. He's helped train me in hard ways you guys can't imagine. You said, that can't have been God. He was too hard on you. Maybe I needed it because I was a hard character. So he had to pull me into truth a lot, whether I liked it or not. You know, he like had the fear of the Lord and the fear of him. But it helped form who I was. And he's Apostle John. He's one of my leaders. And we are nothing alike. And out of every mission trip we've ever been on, we've always butted heads somehow. Yeah, even when he broke his leg. We butted heads. Pull that leg. No, it's broken. Pull it. All right. Ah! So how's that figure? Pull it again. That's how we are. Okay. Stubborn. This dude is stubborn. It's broke, but my little brother's not telling me it's broke, so I say it's broke. Okay, bro, it's sticking out sideways. It doesn't go that way. Pull it. Love to. But when he comes here, I don't ask, what are you preaching on? For number one reason, I get nervous. I get nervous. And then he's very demonstrative. And then he also, his English is real good, but when he gets talking, it's just slurs into one giant thing. You know, and so I would have, in my natural, if he said to me, hey, I'm going to preach a message called Shut Up, Woman. I would have said, no, brother. How about we soften? How about be quiet, sister? Or how about, hey, shh. You know, And he would have said, nope, I ain't preaching that. And I would have said, good. Maybe I'll just speak. You sit there, we'll honor you. But he did. And the whole time I sat right where Kirsten is in my thing, sweating. So I couldn't even look around. I could feel eyes in the back of my neck. I felt them there like, was this guy telling me to shut up? I don't know, man. So my older brother, I'm submitting to the authority in my life and letting them say, and you know, I had to eat my words because there are probably more. 9 out of 10 people that came to me after that message said that was so for me. That actually made me think about what I'm doing and what I could do better. And I went, dog, my older brother knew better than I did again. Thank God I submitted to that. Listen, please, I have had all types of authorities in my life. Over the course of my life, I've had good leaders. Anybody have good leaders? I've had good leaders and leaders that I thought were slightly above trash. You know? No matter their competence, though, no matter they're good or they're bad, this is something I had to learn to yield to God in. And I'm serious. I'm 6 gold. I have a natural tendency to rebel. I say no first before I ever say yes, almost all the time. My grandson picked it up. No, no, wait. Oh, ice cream? Yeah, bring that over here. You know, Dr. Heidi just made fun of me this morning about it. But I had to learn this. God is the overseer of my overseer. God is the overseer, no matter who it is. Nobody thinking, yeah, you're saying church, no. God is the overseer of your overseer. And if he's your overseer, for some reason, God's got you being overseen there. You're learning something. Sometimes it was just bite your tongue and do what he says. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to get a big fight and get written up, and you may knock him out. And then you lose your job. But there's like half my age telling me what to do. I've done this job longer than him. And he's 15 years old, and he's my supervisor. Yeah. Do what he says. Why? Because he's your supervisor. His word teaches us to fight against our natural inclination to stick it to the man. He does. I need his spirit to help me fight that. My nature is to rebel. Anybody else? Look. Villarreal? Thank you. Thank you. Harold? I'll just come back and slap you if you don't put your hand up, you know. Come on. That's an Apostle John. You get up and put your hand up, Harold. Both hands from your brother. You know, just anyhow, God calls rebels, and he teaches us stuff. And sometimes it's a little harder on our noggins than like my wife. She learns stuff very easy. I'm the hard way. I'm YOLO in the hard way. She's a bean counter and doing it the right, tedious, meticulous way. But ponder this, and I want us to get this. Satan started a rebellion and division against God while under perfect conditions. Satan started rebellion against God under perfect conditions. So we're never going to be in perfect conditions. And it's always going to tag our little rebel enough. And so this is hard for me. I didn't want to speak on this. And I wanted to breeze through it. And I saw we're in third. I almost mushed it together into a smoothie. And then I felt the lack of courage as a leader. So there's a lack of sometimes respecting. I can remember my parents. I grew up in a way, I was raised by a bunch of hippies. Cool in some aspects, not cool in other aspects. But throughout my life, I was only saw one perspective. And I wish as I got older, I would have been more honoring. Instead of seeing all the flaws, I'd have been, anybody? Wish you could go back and honor somebody you didn't honor enough. Man, I don't want to do that anymore. We must learn to tame our rebellious nature. God is God over all things, good leaders, bad leaders. And let's learn easier, right? Chapter 13, Spirit of God, I pray that you rest on me and rest on us. And where there's opportunity offended me this week with it, Father, I pray they would not receive an offense. They would not feel targeted. They showed up here today, and you'd speak sweet things to their souls. In Jesus' name. Romans 13:1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. This is not popular. But alas, it's the word of God. And his whole word applies to us and all of us, right? It all applies. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. All the authorities that he has, he's allowed to govern me. But that just rubs my rebellious self wrong. As soon as I read it, I went, surely you don't mean that, dude. Or I should have laid him out, you know? Everyone must submit to governing authorities. Really? But what ones do you mean? For all authority, how much authority? All authority comes from God. He's the overseer of my overseer. And those in position of authority have been placed there by God. Leaders from Moses is a godly, right? Good leader. Solomon, so. Pharaoh, not so great, but he was still under God's authority. And God raised up Pharaoh, and you read it in the book, and it says, I raised up Pharaoh for just such a time as this. So he was still God's Pharaoh. So let that sink in. I probably should wear glasses. I can read my writing better that way. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Say, the road is hard. Oh, my gosh. Do you need coffee? Is that the problem? Say, the road is hard. It's hard, right? It's hard. Surrendering to his ways and to his people the way he desires is hard sometimes. Like I said, in retrospect, for me personally, and people of God in general, maybe, if I look back at my rebellion, most of my rebellion was being used by God to train me somehow. I resisted training. Or he was desperately trying to get my attention before I blew up something. And I knew, man, I'm trying. I don't even like that guy, but he was right. Yeah. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help us. Now look at this. I got a slide. Yeah, look at that. You feel better? There, good. You feel better now? It's not so rough. Good. Romans 13, 3. Yeah, you're going to need those. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. It makes no sense to correct something that the leader thinks is going right, but if he addresses it, he probably thinks it's not. Would you like to live without fear of authority? I think so. I really had to think about that. I ain't scared of that dude. He's this tall. He'll come over and talk. Punch, knock to me. I'll go over and say, no, we're not. No. He's the authority in this place, and you're going to do what he asks you to do because you work here. Would you like to live without fear of authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course, you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. That has never been my favorite part of any job I've been leader of. If you ever had to fire somebody, no matter how terrible they were, I hated it. I would always ask understaff to take care of that for me if I could. Man, you got to let Janet go, why? She crazy. You know, she coming in crazy, acting crazy. You don't decide when she comes in. Stephanie, will you fire her? No, man, that's your job. I'm the secretary. Dang. They have the power to punish you. I never loved that. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them. I read this, and I read this week, and it comes out in me. And this is the first honest goodness feel. I'm just being transparent with you. No one tells me what I must do. I always say, no, you must do. No, I shouldn't. Yeah, you must breathe. Okay, yeah, that's cool. I can do that. Anybody else prone that way? Don't tell me what I must do. Who? Raise your hand if the first time someone tells you must do, is, well, I don't like this person. Don't tell me what I must do. Thank you. I love you guys. You're my people. This won't be as hard for me. Submit not only to avoid punishment, but also to have a clear conscience. Romans 13, 6 through 7. This one's really going to sting. Pay your taxes too. I didn't write it. Pay your taxes too for these same reasons. Now remember, I flash back to Jesus at that moment. So Jesus said, pay to Caesar what you owe him. Pay the government what you owe him. And pay to God what he asked for too. A young kid up here today goes, man, you care if I give more than 10%? I said, do what God says, dude. He goes, I feel like I want to. I said, take it to God. But that heart was just so beautiful. He got what Jesus said, you know. For the government workers need to be paid. And then I know some of your conspiracy theorists, I think this. I hear it with a fussy attitude in my head. I don't know if you have a fussy attitude in your head ever. Pay the government workers what they need to be paid. You can talk about the mismanagement of our federal government, the pork in that thing. You're kidding, the slop that goes on there. Surrender to those humans. I didn't write it. But you know, also, I go, well, yeah, but you know what? I like my roads. I'm thankful for the government for my roads. I like that the sewer works, and I love freedom. I love freedom. Thank you for free. Go to other places but doesn't have our freedom. You go, okay, we're not so bad. You know? Try to go over in Dahran and act like you are. No bueno. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Debt in this world is crazy. Debt of all kinds. And debt of every kind. Hear this. Debt of every kind needs to be paid. Debt to parents. Debt to teachers. Debt to role models in your life. Debt to friends. Debt to mentors. Debt to families that have helped us in the past. Like if you have debts to people, like, I need to thank you for hooking me up during that time. It was hard. It doesn't have to be financial. None of my debts, other than my house payment that I can think of, are financial. But I have a lot of debts. Every time Apostle John grabs this microphone and tells us to shut up, I'm paying a debt. He took me when I was, you guys, you wouldn't have been in the same car with me. He let me sleep on his couch and eat his food. He took me in when I was more stinky than I was not stinky. And that's a debt I will always pay. There's people in my life, but you have people in your life, you know, you're thinking of them right now, oh, man, I sold $5. You're like, I'm going to call so-and-so and say thank you for the sacrifice when I was a knucklehead, right? Keep trying to pay your debts. But, you know, you're never really going to pay them back what you got most of the time. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Respect. We understand respect and disrespect. I think we get what that should. Like when you disrespect somebody, you know it. Well, I didn't know I was disrespecting you. No, come on. I didn't know that'd be disrespecting. You called me a pumpkinhead. And you said it in a snarky way. Maybe they're being a pumpkinhead. You know, I don't know. But we understand respect and disrespect and what it should like to authority. Right? You know when you disrespected the authority of a boss or somebody in your life. You know when you did. Or you disrespected your spouse. Or you disrespected, and fill it in. You know when you do. But honor's harder, I think. It's harder for me to grab a hold of in this. There's a Greek word. I'm doing this for you, doctor. Right? There's a Greek word. She loves those things. It's called time. It looks like the word time, which is so cool, actually. It's called time. It means valuing. Valuing the price that was paid. So if you got someone that gave you advice in your life, you learned for life and they gave you something, it's valuing the price they paid to get that, so they gave it to you. Valuing, giving rank or deference to someone else. Giving them deference. Look, I'm going to give you first place. I could say, I love you, you're coming to my church, God's put here, this is in the flow, that's not in the flow, but I'll give you deference, even though you're going to tell me to shut up. Those things aren't always easy. Now that rubs against our flesh and we rebel. Or we start loving and serving better because we let it challenge us and grow us. Maybe we all need to own some of that. And maybe some of us need to change some of that. Say, Holy Spirit, help us. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone, that's hard, except for your obligation to love one another. New season, honest moment. I'm looking at building, right? I'm looking at one out there a little ways. I'm looking at it. I don't know what it's going to cost us. I don't know what kind of tap dance they have to do. I don't know if they want a pint of blood. They want dibs on my kidney. I don't know what they want to want for this building. But I'm looking at it. And then I hear this, it's 7 minutes past where we're at now. It's another 8 minutes. I'll just tell you this. Go where he tells you to go if we end up leaving here, but I'll be sad. If New Season moves 7.8 minutes further north and 6.3 minutes further east, then you're going to find a new family. I'm just being honest. I'm just telling you how I feel. I'm not manipulating. I'm just being honest. Like, I'm the guy that likes my kids. They're all a block away, and I'd have them in my backyard. I'd have a giant backyard. There's your house. There's your house. There's your house. The grandkids' future houses are there. I already built them. They're over there. That's the well. That's the giant wall. We don't let any robots in. Yeah. Say no debt. No debt, except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's laws. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of the law. So far, not too hard. It's not too hard. Romans 13:11. We're getting close to the end, so it seems like, wow, we're going to crush this. I hope we do. This is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Time's running out. I don't know how many of you plan on being 120 someday. But you're closer to the end than you were before when you started. And that's a hard fact. Time's running out. It seems to actually be speeding forward. So there's sometimes we're in the middle of a Tuesday. Hounder, I'm in a Tuesday. And I'm like, I come out after counseling, I'm sweat dripping from me. Counseling hard. I said, baby, where are we going out tomorrow? She goes, what do you mean we're going out tomorrow? I go, it's Friday night, date night. She goes, baby, it's Tuesday. It can't be Tuesday. Ain't no way I'm getting to Wednesday. I had all the week on a Tuesday. I click my heels and say, fast forward. Never works. And if it did, I'd regret every second of it. This is more urgent for you to know. Time is late. Time is running out. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Say, wake up. Wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Jake, you rescued me this week during the funeral. Someone came up to me and said, what kind of preacher are you? Are you a fire and brimstone preacher? And I go, no to that. I know I'm not that. I don't consider me that. He goes, well, what are you then? I went, I could hear the Jeopardy clock. Doo, 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 doo. And I'm like staring at him, Wendy, like, I'm unique. I don't know. And Jake happened to be close by. He goes, I'll tell you what he is. It was Mark. I gave you credit all week, Jake. Mark! In the bathroom. I get it. He said to the guy something about, this is the thrust, and hopefully I get it right. And if I'm not subtitling Mark's sentiments, please. Jake will tell you if I'm doing it good. He said he takes the word of God and breaks it down for average people in a way that they can understand it. And he doesn't seem to judge you for it. He'll come alongside you with it. I almost cried. I go, I'll take that. Now, everyone's not that experienced with me. Some people think I'm fire and brimstone. I don't know. Some people are not. If you've ever seen fire and brimstone, you've never even seen apostle fire and brimstone. You just seen him as an Arizona Samoan. You should see him when he's wound up. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on, remove and put on the shining armor of right living. slide. Waking up on the road is hard, but not waking up will be harder. Let the hard things in your life wake you up. If you need to be woken up during, if God's picking on something, let him pick on it. If someone in your life, let him pick on it, because it's hard right now, but if we don't wake up to the hard thing he's trying to get us to get over, that's going to be harder. There's no going, well, I'll go back. Can I go back 5 years and fix that? No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, next picture. Look at that. Yeah, you feel better again? Say, wake up. Romans 13:13-14. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. We must be authentic. Our lives should paint the clear picture of who and what we truly believe in. Bite me, taste Jesus. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness. Drunkenness, you know the difference between someone who has a drink and drunkenness. And if you don't, then you probably have a problem. You made wine and made my heart's men merry, and there's not everyone has a drunkenness problem that has a drink, so stop casting judgment on that too. Judgment everywhere. Take care of yourself. If you can't have a drink and it goes too far, stop. That's drunkenness. If they're going to, wait, I just go to the wild party before I know I'm at the wild party before I know I'm drinking, then don't go to the wild party. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, and don't participate in sexual promiscuity. Don't participate in sexual promiscuity. Before Jesus, that's all I knew. That was what I was rolling after. And it'll label you for the rest of your life. I won't say the name of this young girl that lives in this community, but someone's going all over this wall and all over writing, so-and-so is a slut. I was like, it was all over our community. And I went, I want to call her and say, I'm sorry. If that's true, you need some help. Awesome, cool, but you don't deserve that either. But sometimes those things will want to label you and hang with you forever, but they shouldn't. But when we come to Jesus, that's got to start changing. The Greek word, Dr. Heidi, is koite. It's a feminine word, koite is, and it's where the Latins get the word coitus, which is sexual connection. Coitus, koite. This is what it means, koite. By extension, cohabitation, implicating the bed or bed chambering, the marriage bed of adultery, or the cohabitation of unlawful sexual intercourse. I won't read it again. Warning, depending on time, I may share an extended version of this. Here's your warning. When I say leave, you'll have the chance now. I'll get the cough, pinch the baby. It says, don't participate in darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and in immoral living. Say, don't participate. Yeah. Or don't participate in quarreling or jealousy. Don't participate. They're quarreling over. If I see quarreling, I go the other way. If I assume there's quarreling, if it feels like there may be quarreling in the room, I'm Michael Jackson. I'm backstepping. You know, I'm sliding across the floor. What's going on? There's either a baby diaper to be changed or there's a quarrel about to take place, and I'm out. Instead, don't participate in all that. Everything, just listen, don't participate in that. Instead, clothe yourself. Say, I'm a big boy. I'm a big girl. I'm a big boy. I'm a big girl. I should be able to clothe myself. Clothe yourself. I should be able to. Clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Oof. I recall chapter 12, and I remember he said, let God transform your thoughts. And boy, when I first came to Jesus, that's where I needed all my thoughts transforming. Dr. Heidi has now incriminating evidence that my high school friend sent her pictures of me. And you could tell I was having problems. You could tell that was a problem for me. Authority and promiscuity should have been badges around my neck. I needed to come to Christ and let people love me and tell me hard things so I could become what I was supposed to be. And I needed God to transform the way I thought first, or I'd never get there. And I finished. That's the last verse. Check this out. I was so proud of myself for covering that whole chapter. I got through authority, and I got sort of sinful sexuality and immorality. And, you know, I realized that's not a popular topic in any generation, and it's super hard to live out. I'll tell you a small story because my mother-in-law is in the room. Dr. Huddy and I, during our courtship 36-ish years ago, had to make dumb boundaries. Dumb boundaries. Like, you should think I'd be able to control myself. She's smoking hot. She loved me, wanted to marry me. I couldn't even, I'm making boundaries like, yeah, I can drop you off at the top of the stairs. Go into your mom's room. Everything's groovy. And then there was a point like, I can't do that. Why? Because I just want to keep kissing you and smelling you. And you taste good. Next boundary came in. The bottom of the stairs. That didn't work. That was darker. Had to make another boundary. Outside, in the car, on the sidewalk, I could say goodnight and give her a hug. No. Another boundary had to be established. I had to drive the car. I slowed down just long enough to go, I love you, see you in a week. But isn't temptation the same in any generation? Fighting temptation and setting boundaries mattered to Dr. Heidi and I. You know why it mattered? Because God said so. We didn't feel that. But God said it. And we saw that he said it clearly. And then, I think this is true of all of us, not works-minded, but God expects a little more effort from us than we've probably been giving him. Anybody?
I'll sip my water.
I'm sipping dramatically. Ponder. God said it because he's God, right? It doesn't matter if we agree. You don't have to agree. Well, I disagree with that. Okay, it's the word of God. I can't help you there. Tell him when you see him on your last day. I disagreed with you. He'll go, I don't care. It doesn't matter if you don't agree. You just want to listen to the master of whisperers your whole life. Remember, in the perfect garden, the perfect place to be with God. Everything. The birds are hanging out with you. Deer are giving you rides down. You know, you just dolphins are like, what's up, bro? You and you're in the perfect place to live. Satan still wasn't happy. He's whispering, did God really say that? Did he? Why would he say that? Doesn't come to God. I know. I think God's selfish. Humanity just got blown up under perfect leadership. We're in trouble because I'm not. Don't listen to the master of whisperers in your life when it comes to what God says versus how you feel. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. That means our feelings can't lead us because our feelings... Ever get in trouble by your feelings? It's like a 3 times a day kind of feel for me. Tough. Since we have lots of time, which we know we don't, chapter 13 is where we parked. Promiscuity, immoral sexual conduct, authority, it's hard enough. I thought I did really good, right? I talked about it. And mature, big boys and big girls do things consistently hard. That's how maturity happens. Doing things that are consistently hard for you to do and grow in, that's how maturity happens. Consistently hard stuff that's asked of us causes us to grow. Applying it matters. So I thought, I did it. I read it to the church. I taught and expounded on it. I spoke more than most churches do on that subject. I was so proud of me. Krishna was like, I did it. I'm going home and get in the pool, Derek. I can hear the waterfall. It's on till noon. I'm proud of the job I did. I didn't cut any corners. I didn't soften any truth. I felt God affirm me and said, well done. And I said, thank you. I was kind of full of myself, a little bit, Cherry, just a little full of happy that I did it. And he said, but I don't think you're quite done. I went, yippee. I already talked about hard stuff. Lord, I'm free to dance. I am free to run. I did it. Come on. I threw verses on authority and respect and sex issues. Let's go to chapter 14. Let's figure out where the building is. Let's concentrate on that. Lord, what do you say? Are we here? Are we there? Are we anywhere with a box, with a fox, a house, with a mouse? Where are we going to have church? You don't want me to talk about that yet? Yeah, you don't want to tell me what that is yet? No. Could you just talk more about where you left off in chapter 13? Guess I can. So he wouldn't let me off it. Say nope. Some are going to feel it. I know I feel it. I felt the Holy Spirit seem to say, repeat yourself this morning. And if you know me, I hate repeating myself. I don't write to repeat myself if I'm telling you good news. If you didn't hear me say you won the lottery and there's $1 million coming to your house, you said, I didn't hear what you had to say. I'm going to be rebellious. Go, you should have. I hate repeating myself, Dr. Heidi, right? I hate it. Let alone sad, hard things. I hate repeating anything, let alone sad, hard things. His word shows that his repeats, though, are often warnings to his people. That's why he repeats it. And his warnings are always worth repeating. Say, shut your mouth, whisperer. Here we go. It's like chapter 13. It's time to bounce. He said, no, it's not. There's more and more important things. Just go over them in just a second. I brought him up near the end. This topic is fairly large. Where do you want to go, Father? Let's start with a lovely little uncomfy recap of sexual immorality with a disclaimer. You ready? I want you to hear this. Say, we're listening. If you have participated in any sinful behavior, God's covenant promises that Jesus Christ's sacrifice will be given and you'll be forgiven. There is now no more condemnation for 1986 for me. There is no more condemnation for last week for me. There is no more condemnation for those who have come to Christ. That's good news. You won't be condemned for your past sins unless you haven't repented of them or turned from them. What you haven't repented from or turned from, that's where you're going to be gotten. So ask yourself, have you let Jesus do that? Have you made your sin and lordship exchange? Have you said, here's my sin? You're getting a bad deal on this. I'm giving you the yucky part of me, like you know, the vile part of me. I'm giving that to you. And you've got to be Lord. Of course, you're Lord anyways, whether I recognize it or not. But I have to acknowledge you as Lord and give you that. What do you get out of that? That's how much you love me? That's crazy. I don't love anything like that. And I love unto my death. But I don't think I die for everybody. And they're nasty nonsense. But he did it. So don't be condemned. Get cleansed up from that. Just remind you, okay, here we go. Sexual sin in particular gets equally blasted in the Old Testament and New Testament. Would you like examples? Yes, we would. Excellent. Romans 13, we just read, no promiscuity. And the definition of that, and no immorality. Romans 1 said, no homosexuality and no immorality. Exodus said, no adultery. It got his top 10 vote. So we'll put that as a top 10er, you know? Say it matters. In Matthew, Jesus ups the warning. Jesus ups the warning. He says, I'm paraphrasing, so don't be offended by this, but this is how I felt to say it. Hey, bro. Watch how you even look at another man's wife. Because I'm watching. And you don't know her husband. He's got an axe handle. And he ain't afraid to use it. But I don't have to because God says, watch how you even look at another man's wife. Watch how you even look at women in general. Ooh, say it again. Okay. Watch how you look at women in general. He warned about how you even think about them. That's Jesus. That's not easy to say, and I repeated it a bunch. Get out of here. Say, ladies, yeah. You know, ladies are like, tell him, Pastor. Ladies, God instructs both his big girls and his big boys, both, to get doing the hard things that he asks of us. He did his part. What are we going to do? 1 Corinthians, he says, your sexual sin will affect more than just you. Families get gutted. Or they continue abuse patterns. Been in counseling a long time. We've heard everything you could possibly hear under the sun that they would never even put on a Netflix commercial. And I'll tell you, those things affect more than just the person that was violated. Generations sometimes. God has many books covering sexual expectations and sexual liberties in marriage. Thessalonians, Hebrews, Leviticus, Colossians, each one themed up with some kind of sexual issue thing. Go read them. It's a fun study. But the summarization of that is God says, get control of yourself. Get control of yourself or run from temptation. Flee, it says in Corinthians, and flee from it, you know? And I never really fully got that till I really admitted I was addicted to something. And it was ruining my life. When I couldn't, Dr. Heidi, I love you, but I'm going to share part of this testimony, and I want it to hurt your heart. But I'll tell you this, cocaine was my problem. I had a lot of problems, promiscuous. I partied a lot, had no YOLO. But it'd burn out then fade away. I was a rock song. You know, party hard. But what the time that I realized that belongs to the mafia, and if you take that and you can't pay for that, you and other people may get hurt. I don't care. Come get me. I'm bad. I thought I was at the time. I wasn't that bad. Almost ended my life over an addiction. Anybody feel that? So if I'm at a party and I'm kicking it with my friends, and I love them, even though they cuss me out over the internet, we're close. If I go back and someone starts getting out a mirror, guess what? Pastor Sean's got to go home. I'm not even doing anything, but I don't want to put myself in the room with that. It's been 40 plus years. I'm never going to go in a room where it's being diced out. Why? Because I don't know. Well, I'm probably fine. I feel good, like I'm good. You know? But why put yourself that close to a line that you used to kill you? How does that apply to your life? God says, control yourself. Run. Flee. Definitely don't invite that thing over for tea or go bowling sometime. You know, don't invite that. God talks clear about premarital sexual expectations, gender expectations, marriage expectations. The church got letters about sexual expectations and sin definitions. Transforming is still needed. I got a picture. Oh, you feel better? Yeah, I feel better. Let's stand. I wrote in my notes, aren't you excited you get to close? Yes, I am excited. Past me. Here's what I have to close with. God is first. God is right. And we serve him. We all need transforming somewhere in our lives. Morality might not be your thing. You might be like, no, I crush it there. I don't know what your thing is. I don't know. It's like, well, you're looking at my soul. No, I'm not. I'm really trying to avoid everybody's eye contact. I check everyone. I'm not looking at anybody. I feel like I'm, you know, like one of those. Oh, you know those lizards with the eyes on the side of their head? Chameleons. Thank you. You know, the eye goes everywhere. I'm going like, when I preach hard message, I'm doing this. Unless I can look at Jake. Man, Jake, you get all of this. You're fine. You and I understand, you know. Where's Mark at? There he is. He gets it. We all need more transforming. Where? Are you his church? I'm just asking that we wake up. Whatever's been lulling you to sleep, that's been killing you, wake up. Wake up. It's the season to wake up and go, instead of going, dog, I got burnt today. No, dog, I'm ready to run this way today. I'm ready. I've been set to ready. Actually, some of you are like, I had a plan. I just got executed. Now I know I'm going to execute my plan. I've been wanting to do that. Say, we are his church. So, Father, I'm not going to ask for a response at the altar. I'm never great at that. I just want a response in our hearts. This church is one of the most important things that you've ever put in my life. And I love everybody in these seats. And I want to see us become what we're supposed to be and them what they're supposed to be. So, Father, anything that keeps us from what you want us to be, I ask you to take it out to the trash. And give us strength. Give us strength, Father, to set a boundary. Holy Spirit, be with us in the process. Lord, that we love better this year one another, because that's the debt we owe. You owe a debt to the person to your left. Give them a squeeze, a nudge. Give a nudge to your person to the right. You owe them a debt. It says, owe nothing to anybody except the debt to love each other.